Lord, we do give you praise this morning. We thank you, Lord. And we do, Lord, seek Jesus. We want to praise only you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Lord, we just dedicate our hearts to you this morning, this time, Lord. I pray that you would bless our time in your word. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would, as you told Jeremiah, I will put my words in your mouth, that you would put your words in my mouth, God, and that we would see Jesus, and we would be changed by what we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for beautiful, beautiful worship, Lisa and Brittany. Thank you very much. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. All right, all right. So far, so good, right? Well, it is a beautiful New Year. Welcome, everyone here presently in person and online. Hope you're having a wonderful New Year so far and a wonderful Sunday. Can't believe it's 2021. Can you believe it? We are excited for this New Year, and God is in control. He is in control. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of Genesis. We're going to go back to our Genesis study, picking up in Genesis chapter 21, and we are going through this entire book, so we will be finished by the end of the year, Lord willing, and trying to take large chunks at a time, but I believe in going through the books of the Bible only because that's just how I think and how I like to explore the Bible. And we took a break for a couple weeks to do some Christmas messages, and had a wonderful Christmas, wonderful New Year. But we're back at the beginning. Genesis chapter 21. Just a reminder: Book of Genesis, of course, is 50 chapters long. It's divided into a couple of portions. The first 11 chapters have to deal with creation, the fall, the flood, Tower of Babel. And then starting in chapter 12 to chapter 50, it's about one man, Abraham and his family. So it starts off with the human race, Adam, and then in chapter 12, it zeroes down to the family of Abraham. God's promise to Abraham in chapter 12 that will then, of course, actually dictate the rest of the scripture. His promises that are made to him are promise of, first of all, of children, a seed. Secondly, land for those people to live, and thirdly, that those people would be a blessing. And so we've been looking at Abraham and watching him and journeying with he and his wife Sarah. His wife Sarah and he are now about 100 years old, and she's 90. And we've been watching them and walking with them. And Abraham, we've learned a lot from him. But chapter 21 is a crucial chapter because finally we get the birth of Isaac, right? We've been waiting since chapter 12. Remember, chapter 12 is when the first promise came, and Abraham believed God, of course, that he would have descendants. At that time, Abraham's name was Abram, but then God changed his name later on to Abraham, which means a father of multitude. And then Abraham and Sarah got a little impatient, and they had this idea of having children through his servant called Hagar, who was an Egyptian handmaid that produced Ishmael. And finally, God told them, it says, no, actually, it's going to be through Sarah that Abraham is going, that you guys are going to have the child. And so now in chapter 21, it's been 25 years of waiting, 25 years since God first initially told Abraham, come out of your country, follow me to the land I'll show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. 25 years of waiting and praying and hoping, 25 years of wondering, of questioning, 25 years. We have a hard time waiting for 25 minutes, let alone 25 years. Amen? We are a little impatient, but imagine if God says, I'm going to do something to you, for you, and through you, but now I can tell you what's going to happen, and 25 years pass. You're going to be wondering during those 25 years, God, did I actually hear you, right? How many of you guys are like me after 25 days? God, are you sure? 25 minutes, 25 years? Well, 25 years. Verse 1, chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said. The word there is visited, and it means to visit in a beneficial way. It means that she had a child, right? She had a child. God took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. You just mark that right there. As he had said and as he had promised. If I'm shouting because I'm excited, not because Starbucks coffee is kicking into my brain, my bloodstream, but I'm excited because it was as God said, as he had promised. Hold on. While you're waiting for God to do something, hold on to what he said. While you're waiting and wondering, God will do what he said he will do in the way he said he would do it and when he said he'll do it. But during that time, it's the waiting time, isn't it? God, why do you take so long to do what you're, you know, and we're all about the destination, aren't we? Yep. We're all about, how many of you guys are type A planners, you're setting goals, come on, you know, and you feel productive, don't you, right? How many of you guys make lists at the beginning of the day or beginning of the week, right? No, yes, yeah, some okay, type not type A, whatever, you know. But you feel accomplished, you know, you want to get things done and you have your list and you're crossing off. How many of you guys have already started with some sort of New Year's resolution ambitions and things like, which is okay to do, you know. 25 days later, let's see if that will still be the, but you can know that whatever God said he's going to do, he's going to do, and you can hold on to his promises. And sometimes God is allowing us to wait, allowing us, and he's doing something in us. See, we think it's all about the accomplishments, right? Well, I did this today and I did this today, which is all great. But it's really what the work of God is not necessarily to get to the Isaac. Because if the Isaac was that much important in your life, it would have been 25 years. It would have been a lot shorter than that, 9 months, right? Give or take a few weeks or something, right? But the Lord had took note of Sarah as he had promised and did, as he had said, and did for Sarah as he had promised. In fact, he did stipulate that back in Genesis 17. Go back to Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, this is when Abraham is, this is a year before, and God says to Abraham, verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. See, they thought it was going to be through Ishmael. See, that's the thing is, after waiting a long time, after waiting, you think you have to help God out, right? How many of you guys like to help God out? Right? Because God's timetable is not our timetable, right? God, I have things to do. I got people to meet, places to go. Come on, let's go, right? What's going? What's the delay? What's the delay? And God's, and so what happens is that Abraham, this was Sarah's idea. Abe, here's my handmaid, Hagar. You can have a child. I can have a child through her. That was a custom of the time. And that happened. And now everything was all fine and dandy, and then God says, no, 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 no. It's through you, Sarah. It's through me. I'm part of this deal, too? Yes, you are part of this deal. As to you, you shall not call her name, you shall call her, I will bless her, indeed I will give you a son by her, then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations, kings of peoples will come from her. See, the promises to God are multifaceted. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who was 90 years old, bear a child? And then Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Oh, God, just take what I have. Well, God had promised it's going to be through Sarah, right? And then he says, even the next chapter, I will turn, look, chapter 18 and verse 9, verse 10, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And then she laughed. Now go to chapter 21. And now, Sarah conceived, verse 2, and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time. See, there's something about the will of God and the timing of God. They have to intersect. See, many of us, God has told us maybe his will, or he's informed us certain things, but the timing is not right. And so we wait and we wait. Lord, when's that time going to be right? And we wait and we wait and we wait. Now, all the while, God is doing something in us. It's not wait. There's no wasted time in God's. It's not just about getting the Isaac. It's about what he wants to produce in us as we wait and rely and trust. See, Abraham and Sarah had to learn how to lean heavily on the Lord. And I don't know about you, that's a hard thing to do, especially if you're an impatient person like me, right? To lean and to trust and to let God do what he's going to do, because what God is going to do in your life is of a better quality and will last longer. It's the eternal quality, more than you and I can ever produce on our own. So you and I try to produce things, but what we produce is nothing compared to what God is producing in us. And it's that time of the waiting and trusting and resting in him. That's why so much of the scripture talks about waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. At the appointed time, which God had spoken to him, he produced Isaac. Verse 3, and then Abraham, it sounded like I had a little accent there, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Isaac's name means laughter. Here's Sarah. She's going to the store, you know, and she's baby shopping, and the lady at checkout are like, "What is this for your grandson?" Okay. Can't you see the bump, you know? And it's for my son, Isaac. Can you imagine? Who would have thought a 90-year-old lady giving birth to a baby? No epidurals back then, so I don't know what they use, but. At the appointed time, Sarah bore Isaac. Verse 4, then Abraham circumcised his son when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. I want to point something out that the Apostle Paul has some commentary on this section where Abraham has been waiting 25 years. God, are you going to keep your promise? What do I do with what you've told me? Go to Romans chapter 4. I want to look at something that the Apostle Paul comments in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham during this time. In Romans 4, let's start with verse 16, but my goal is verse 19 through 21, but I'll just go with verse 16. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even in God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed. See, true faith is not seeing a possibility of how God can do something, right? Well, I can see how God can do this given these parameters and given this material. I can see how God can do that. But now you're talking about a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old lady who's never had children in her life. Now you've got something, you've got God's promise, and yet you've got reality looking at you in the face, right? And true faith challenge faith causes you to decide, are you going to believe reality or God's promise and God's word? This is living by sight, and this is living by faith. My faith is leaning on God's word. And hope against hope. Only God's the one who could say, I'm going to produce something that no man can produce. Which gives him more glory because the impossibility of what can happen, a natural man can't produce. But there's no impossibility of what God can produce, right? Don't let what you see with your natural eye determine or dictate what you think God can do. Amen? This is why when we read Scripture, you read it through the eyes of faith, because it is it's a theological book, right? This is theological history. This is all this history teaching us about God. And here Abraham is an example of what it means to walk by faith. And here Abraham, it says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to which has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. He's the father of those who trust in the Lord. He's the father of the faith of those of us who are walking, trusting in God's word, despite what reality or despite what everything we can see with right looks like. Faith says, I'm going to go by what God says. That's a test. That's a daily test. Come on now. That's a serious test. But look at what it says about Abraham. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Hey, it's 2021. I need to lose some weight. Or I need to, he looked at this, he's like, now I'm as good as dead. I just think it's funny. I don't know. I mean, God has a sense of humor. Come on. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet, watch this, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Everything he sees in the mirror is speaking contrary to God's word, right? It speaks contrary to the promises of God. And he has a choice to make. Am I going to believe what I see, or am I going to believe what he said? Yeah, but you know, the devil comes around and says, yeah, but what about this? What about that? You know, if God really wanted to use you, he would have done it by now, right? And if he really wanted to fulfill his promise, you must have done something wrong to get him off track, because he would have done it by now, right? All these doubts come in your mind, and Abraham says, this is what God has said. See, this is a test for us to trust not just the abilities of God, but the truthfulness of God. Either God is true or he's a liar. And God often delays the bringing about of his promise so that our faith can be tested and purified and refined and grown deeper. The longer the years went by, the more Abraham says, my body can't produce, but my God is faithful. And that's what he desires to do in each one of us. It's not just to produce the Isaac, it's to produce the Abraham. Isaac can come in 9 months. Abraham took him 25 years, and then some. See, what God wants to produce in each one of us, the really good artist, the ones who do the masterpieces, you know, the Michelangelos and Da Vinci's, you know, they take their time, right? They put everything into that sculpture, and they like a part of them is there. Because what they create is going to be a masterpiece. And God is not a microwave God necessarily, right? He puts it into the slow cooker, right? Let's it marinate. We have a chef here, and so let's because that's the way to do it right. And what he's producing in each one of us is taking time, but he's still working. He's still working. Let us be like Abraham, where we don't look at what we see, but we rely on God's promise. And sometimes we don't realize what God is doing. You know that. I think I told this before. You know, like we see each other all the time, right? Remember one time we went back home, and this is back when we I moved from Buffalo, New York, and we had a childhood friend that we've known since we were four, right? But we didn't see him. We went back home. This is years ago, and it was a while after we'd seen him last. So we had seen each other in a while, and so we kind of, my brother, my friend, the three of us were sitting at a table at a restaurant, and we just really spent like 5-10 minutes just looking at each other, like, because you've changed so much, right? You look like your dad now, you know? You got some whiskers in your face, you know? You're different because I haven't seen you in a while. See, sometimes we don't realize all the changes that God has gradually made. But if I hadn't seen you in years and I met you, wow, God is, whoa, hello. This is, you're different. We may not realize all that God is doing in our life every single day. So he says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. I pray that could be said of each one of us. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. There was no doubt in Abraham's mind. I mean, God could speak the worlds into existence. Scientists tell you it takes billions of years. Look, what takes you more? What requires more faith? A God that has to take billions and billions of years to do something, or a God that can do it in a matter of days? What takes more faith? Days, huh? Okay. I'm not going to comment on that, but I'm just wondering, you know, because God does take his time, though, in producing the Abrahams and the Isaacs in our life. But anyway, God is able to do what he's performed. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. During that waiting time, what is God doing in your life as you're waiting on his promises, as you're leaning on him, as you're relying? What do you think God is doing? You know what he's doing? He's purifying your faith. He's deepening your faith. He's drawing you. He's making it so that you look to him more than anything else. And Sarah too. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews. Let's not forget about Sarah, because she's the one who's actually bearing the child. So she's part of it, you know. It's not just about Abraham. Sarah's there too. I love how the Lord works in both. Hebrews 11. Verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Ah, wait a second here. It isn't just Abraham's faithful. Sarah has learned to rely on God's faithfulness too. You know, each one of us, God has that work for us as well. It isn't just about the Abrahams in life. It's also about the Sarahs in life. She considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead, as many descendants as the stars in number, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Go back to Genesis 21. So God takes note of Sarah and Abraham. Verse 7. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Now remember, before this, when he had told, remember when God visited Abraham with the two angels, right, before Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's Sarah. Where's Sarah? Oh, she's in the tent back there, but she's eavesdropping, you know. She's listening, you know. Well, I'm going to, this time next year, she's going to have a child, and she kind of chuckled and laughed. And then God says, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Who, me? Was it me? She laughed in disbelief. Right? But look how God has turned her disbelief into belief. Because now she's not laughing with disbelief. She's laughing with joy. Who would have... God has made laughter of me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. He just lived the joy in her face, right? See, God is about turning our sorrows into joy, isn't he? Some of us live too long in the sorrows of life, but God wants to bring joy and laughter, right? Let it be God that brings laughter to you, you know? Let him be the source of your joy, not circumstances, not anything else, but him, right? That sorrow that he wants to bring and bring laughter. I mean, I tend to be a pessimist, you know, pessimist. I'm like Eeyore, you know, but I don't be Eeyore all the time, you know? Eeyore, you know, woe is me, you know. Tigger, you're bouncing up too long, you know. No, God is the one who brings laughter, you know. It's interesting because how many of you guys remember your dreams? Nope. I like never remember my dreams, like ever, except for actually I had a dream the other day that we were in a different location and I got to church and you were singing and I forgot the keyboard. And then I had to hurry up home, you know, and this wasn't here. So that, I'm glad it was just a dream because it was like, what, you know. Anyway, I had this dream because, you know, I tend to be blah, 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 you know. But I had this dream it was either at the Sea of Galilee or in heaven with a lake or something, but Jesus was there with his disciples. All I remember is I'm walking on, along the shore. There's a boat and Jesus with his disciples and they're laughing, like having a good time. And it was as if the Lord was saying to me, I want to give you joy. It was just like this glimpse of Jesus, and they're just having joy and laughing. And it was a good thing. I'm like, all right. And I pray this, you know, this prophetic. God wants to give, Sarah says, God has made laughter for me. How many of you guys need some laughter? Amen? He's the source of laughter, isn't he? He's the source of joy. He's a happy God, right? He's not a miserable God, frowning like, what's Tom up to today? What's John doing, you know? Oh, he's having too much fun, you know? No. He's the source. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace. I mean, you said right there, right? But he's the source of joy, right? Let him, he produces it. It's something he puts inside of you through the Holy Spirit that he produces. And it's not something that you and I produce. It's him. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now she's full of joy. God has changed her circumstances. God has answered the prayers. God has fulfilled this promise, and she is full of laughter and joy. You just see the scene. And then in verse 8, it says, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Weaning took place around 3 years old. You weaned about 3 years old, and then you had the big party. And Abraham is celebrating, you know, and that's it. Now, here's what's strange. In this chapter, we're Lord willing, getting through verse 21 is my goal. But it's interesting that the birth of Isaac is only a couple verses in this chapter, right? How long have we been waiting for this? Well, since chapter 12, 25 years. You would think, hey, Isaac's here. It's going to be like, you know, long. You're talking 7-8 verses. And that's it. Isaac's here. We're celebrating. We're happy, which is good. But it is almost like a letdown. More. Tell us more about Isaac. He grew and he was weaned. Now we'll get back to Isaac in a second because we still have some other people to talk about, and God wants to help out as well. Verse 9. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. By the way, Ishmael's name is never mentioned in this chapter. Ishmael, his name means God hears. you knew in Deuteronomy 6:4 is the Shema, right? The S-H-E-M-A, that means to hear. And Ishmael means God hears. That ending is, but his name is not used, but he's called the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. And Sarah saw the son of the Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, mocking. Now that word is a difficult word. It actually means, it's a form of the word for laughter. Isaac's name is laughter. Isaac, right? His name is laughter. This is a form of his name, but it means to ridicule and mock. Now, Ishmael is about 17 years old, perhaps, at this time. He's roughly about 17. And there's a scene, perhaps it's at the party, we don't know, but he is mocking. It actually means to ridicule, to sort of, it means he's Isaacing, but not in a good way. Therefore, in fact, Paul says that he was persecuting. In fact, go to Galatians, back to your New Testament. Go back all the way over and find Galatians. You'll have the Gospels, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, and then Galatians after Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, Paul makes a comment on what's going on here. In Galatians 4 and in verse 29, it says, let's go to verse 28. And you, brethren, verse 28, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Now, what Paul's going to do here in Galatians, he's going to use Isaac and Ishmael and Hagar and Abraham as a picture, right? As a picture. I'm not sure how much I'm going to get into this today because of time. Maybe we'll pick up next week on that aspect. But he says, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise, but as it was at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. The one who was born according to the flesh was Ishmael, and the one who was born according to the Spirit was Isaac. And it's a picture of the flesh versus the Spirit. So it is also now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. So Paul says that he was persecuting, that Ishmael was persecuting Isaac. Go back to Genesis. Therefore, she said to Abraham, and this is Sarah speaking. Now this is protective mommy, isn't this? Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Abraham, you got to put this child out of here and her mom. Drive out this maid and her son. In fact, she doesn't call them either one by name. For this, the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. Now, technically, the laws at the time said that if you had a child through a slave, right, and you set that slave woman free and the child with her, they can go free, but then they lose their portion of the inheritance. So basically, they're just being disinherited. But the heir and the promise was not going to be through them anyway. It was going to be through Isaac, right? And so Sarah, of course, being this protective mind and realizing, hey, first of all, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, is mocking our son, making ridicule. Now, Ishmael, of course, has lived for the last 17 years thinking he's going to be the one, right? He's going to be the child. He's going to be the heir, and he's probably gotten excited about this. And now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, it's like, nope, pack your bags, see you later, off you go, right? But Sarah has a point here, and God even says this to him later on. Verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. This is hard. I mean, this is your boy, right? My boy's 17. I can't imagine kind of doing that, right? The matter distressed him greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, see, sometimes here's the thing. Here's a principle. His wife's saying, do this. And before he does it, he hears from God. Anytime you're going to make decisions, don't just do it because other people are telling you. Make sure you hear from God, right? Make sure you take some time to listen to the voice of God. and get some clarity on this. And she may be wise, and that person may be giving you some, hey, but don't react on emotion. Make sure you step back and say, you know, I need to hear from God, and I need to hear clearly. Y'all may be hearing from God, but I need to hear clearly myself. And God does, of course, speak to Abraham. God says, but God said, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. And all the ladies said, amen. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, because she's telling you the truth. Hey, through Isaac, your descendants shall be named. And what God is talking about here is his inheritance of God's promise is going to be through Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which is Israel, and then eventually Jesus will go there. His promises. Now, this sort of hints at God's selection of who he's going to use. It's the term for election. I'm not getting into this today. Later on in a future chapter, we'll talk more deeply about election. But all to say is God is going to choose to use Isaac rather than Ishmael to bring about his law, his prophets, the Messiah, etc., right? About Jesus. And so God does speak to Abraham, and he does hear from God. And God says, the son of the maid, verse 13, I will make a nation of him also because he is your descendant. I'm not going to leave him out to dry. He is your descendant, and I care about him as well. Just because he's not Isaac doesn't mean I don't love him, right? See, sometimes we just think, oh, you know, all the Ishmaels are. No. God has care for each person in the story here. Even Ishmael, even Hagar. God isn't not neglecting any of them. He's just using the line of Isaac and Jacob to bring about his line. So, in the son of the maid, I will make a nation also, because he is your son. Verse 14. So Abraham arose early in the morning. Now, that's a key phrase that's going to be used in the next chapter. The next chapter, Abraham is going to rise early in the morning to give up his son Isaac. Now he's rising early in the morning to give up his son Ishmael. I love Abraham's immediate response. When God speaks to you, you know it's something he's telling you to do, don't delay. I love how God has spoken to Abraham, and literally the next morning, he's up and early. Now, he's early because it's hot outside, but he's up and early, ready to do what God says. And this is not easy. Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, which is about 2 or 3 gallons, let's say 3 gallons of water, and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. Abraham arose early in the morning, took bread, a skin of water, and gave them to Hagar, gave her the boy, and sent her away. There's no indication of Abraham arguing with God here. And it wasn't easy. That's his son. We don't know if he ever sees his son again. We do know that after Abraham dies, Isaac and Ishmael get together to, you know, bury him and everything. But Abraham, a man of faith, hears God. This was crucial in Abraham's life, because before he can give up Isaac, he has to give up his Ishmael. Giving up Ishmael is hard, right? But if you never give up Ishmael, you'll never give up Isaac. In the scripture, Ishmael is a product of the flesh, isn't he? He's a product of our own doing. we're called to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh, right? We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. And even back when God said, it's going to be through Sarah, Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, God, take my Ishmael. Isn't my Ishmael good enough for you? But through Ishmael, you never learn how to lean on God, because it's all about you producing what you think God wants to use. Ishmaels can never produce the fruit of the Spirit. I love how the scripture teaches that God uses the weak things of the world, right? There's a reason why God purposely chose a Moses to lead. He's lack of confidence and he can't talk, and yet he's his leader. So we think it's our own abilities and strength that we offer to God. It's really actually it's your weaknesses that are more valuable to God than anything else. Because in your weaknesses, you rely more strongly on him and he has to come through. Amen? I'm not up here because I'm confident and full of eloquence. I'm sorry, Mom. Everything that is going to be of lasting, eternal quality is because you've leaned on God and the Holy Spirit has brought that to pass. But sometimes we're so wanting to prop up our Ishmaels that we don't realize that God can't work through Ishmael. Isaac is the child of the promise. Who produced Isaac? It was the Lord, right? Who produced Ishmael? Right? But one thing about walking in faith, it's not about our products, what we produce, not about what we do. I mean, that's a lesson I learn every single week is, man, the more you have to rely on God, the more you have to just be stripped of your own abilities, the more he comes through, the more he gets glorified. That's why he has sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, because we couldn't produce what only Christ could produce, right? Maybe there's some Ishmaels in our life that God is calling us to give away. Since I have the keys, I can continue. And I can talk more about this next week because I have more to say, but because of time. He sent her away. When the water was used up, verse 15, the water in the skin was used up. By the way, he doesn't send them away with very much, does he? A couple of gallons of water and some bread. And you're in Sinai, or you're Egypt south of, you're between Egypt and Israel. You're not in the, it's not the best climate. When the water in the skin was used up, she left the boy under one of the bushes, and then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. Now, let's pause for a second. Remember, Hagar is in the midst of this because of Sarah and Hagar and Abraham's doings, right? It's interesting that Hagar gets a lot of attention, right? Even from the Lord. Because back in chapter 16, she runs away, you know, Sarah mistreats her, and she runs away, and the angel of the Lord says, hey, Hagar, what you doing here? I'm fleeing from my mistress, my boss, hey, go back, submit to your authority, you're going to have a child, name him Ishmael, I'm going to make him a great nation, right? Now, fast forward to this point, and here's what happens. She lifts up her voice and weeps. Verse 17, God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar. She gets visited again. It tells me that God is concerned about each person, isn't he? Yep. This Egyptian slave girl wandering in the desert, she gets lost. She has a boy, and they're out of everything, aren't they? They're depleted of water, of bread. All the resources are used up. And then they start crying, right? He's crying, she's crying, and God hears, doesn't he? God hears our cries, and he hears our cries especially when we've been used up and depleted of our resources. Sometimes we don't cry out to God because we think we have enough to get by, but when we actually get stripped from all that stuff, we cry out leaning on him, Lord, you're all, I got nothing left. I'm used up. I'm depleted. I got nothing. Please help. Then it says, God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, take him by the hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. I can probably spend a sermon on just verse 19, which I'm not going to do right now because the sermon was done. God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness and became an archer, and he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took away for him from the land of Egypt. Hagar and Ishmael actually are also loved by God, and God does hear their cry. They are leaning heavily on the Lord. They have nothing to give, and out of their own resources, they cry out to God, and God supplies and provides and leads and is with them. When you cry out to God, he hears, doesn't he? When you really cry out to God, he hears. He heard our cry. He hears our cry. He hears your cry. He's a faithful God who keeps his promises. He's a good God who brings joy and laughter. And he's a God who provides for our needs. He provided for our most important need by providing and giving his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Let's pray, and then we're going to have communion this morning. It's the first Sunday of the month, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that you are a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, that you have purposes and plans for both Ishmael and Isaac. But thank you, Father, also, Lord, that though you can produce an Isaac in a matter of months, Lord, you're desiring to produce Abraham's and Sarah's, as we wait on you, Lord, as we lean on your promises, as we watch and see what only you can do. Lord, I pray for each person that's here and each person that's watching, Lord. You know where each person's at, and you know what you're producing in each one, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if there's any that are that are discouraged or weak in faith or wanting to give up. Maybe somebody wants to just throw in the towel because it's just getting so hard. Lord, I pray that you would meet this person in their great, in their cry, in their need. That you would fulfill your promise for them, Lord. Your desire, Lord, to shape them and mold them into the image of Christ. Your word says that you have started something, that you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their faith, Lord. And maybe somebody has been dealing with long periods of sadness, of grief. Make laughter for them, Lord. You understand their pain and their cry, Lord. But let it be, Lord, that you replace that and grant them with laughter and joy. Because you're a God who makes laughter, Lord. And if there's anyone, Lord, who's used up, spent, of resources, of strength. Lord, that you would hear their cry, Lord, and provide for them, Lord, a well of water, a living water, strength. In Jesus' name, amen.